be sage moon blood. Sage moon blood alone. Would it be Randall's alone? Or, and you've all already guessed this, I'm sure, the Rocky Stallone. So does anyone know what Sylvester Stallone called his son? What do you think? Is it A? A, do you think? Who says A? Hands up for A. Oh, all those people are wrong. Anybody else think they know what the answer is? B. Let's see if it's B. There we go. Yes, Sylvester Stallone really did call his son Sage Moonblood Stallone. So why don't we move on and have a look at this happy family here. So this is the British celebrity chef, Jamie Oliver, and his wife and daughters. And the question that I would like us to think about, what is the name of Jamie Oliver's daughter? He's got three of them, but I'm thinking of one in particular. Is it Rose Water Oliver? Is it Violet Star Oliver? Is it Leaf Green Oliver? Or is it in fact Petal Blossom Rainbow Oliver? What do you think? Who thinks it's answer A? Who thinks it's Rosewater Oliver? Oh, you guys are all wrong again. Who thinks it's B, Violet Star Oliver? Is a few people going for that? You're wrong as well. Who thinks it's C, Leaf Green Oliver? Oh, you're wrong too.
Yes. Yes,
there we go. D is Petal Blossom Rainbow Oliver. As one person on the internet said, sounds more like a My Little Pony rather than a human being. Okay, here we go. So this is Gwyneth Paltrow, the actress, with her daughter, who's presumably listening to some music, I think. The question is, what is the name of Gwyneth Paltrow's daughter? Is it A, Apple? Is it B, Orange? Is it C, Pear? Or is it in fact D, Banana? Let's get it A. There we go. Well done, everyone. You're all able to get that final one. However, the question that I'd like us to be thinking about for a few minutes this morning is, what's in a name? So what did God call his son when he was born? And what does that mean for each of us here this morning? I guess names are things that are really important, aren't they? I'm sure all of us have a name, and our names often have meanings as well. It really doesn't make any difference whether it's in English or if it's in Chinese. Our names have meanings, and I'm sure many of you here, you will know what your name means. And the name that God's son was given, that has a meaning as well, and it actually tells us some very important things about him and about why he came and about why Christmas is so special and important. So in Matthew's Gospel, from the reading that was read for us just a few minutes ago, we can see there are three names that God's son that was given that really highlight who he is. They aren't exactly celebrity names, but they are significant. And the first of them is Emmanuel. So you probably noticed in verse 23 of the reading, it said the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel. The name Emmanuel is Hebrew and means God with us. So Emmanuel means God with us. So what this is saying is that baby that we see in the stable is actually none other than God himself come to earth. He's God with us. This is something that we've already been singing about in some of our Christmas carols this morning. He came down to earth from heaven, who is God and Lord of all. So physically then, Jesus' mother was Mary. Legally, his father was Joseph the carpenter, and it was him who brought him up. But at the most fundamental level, Jesus' father was God. As verse 18 says, his mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit, through the Holy Spirit of God. And so the baby, therefore, is God with us, God in human form, God come as a human being to be one of us. And if God really has come to be one of us, then I'm sure you would agree that that's something that has big implications for each of us here. If we think about the size of our universe,
It is absolutely huge. The size and the immensity of the universe is something which is simply mind-blowing. Look at all those black holes and nebulae and stars and galaxies. It's really incredible. We are actually just a speck of a rock, really, in one remote corner of the universe. Even if we were to be able to travel at the speed of light, we would actually need 100,000 years simply to get out of our own galaxy. And even then, we wouldn't get anywhere near the other millions of galaxies which they are in the universe. And so that the size of our universe, when we think about it, is it's enormous. It's simply huge. And we often feel, I think, very small in comparison. But yet God became one of us. Ours was the planet that God came to visit, that he created, that he's interested in. And at the very least, then, this means that we matter to God. We aren't just some insignificant speck of rock in a remote corner of an obscure galaxy called the Milky Way, but actually God became one of us. And therefore we matter to him, and we are important to him. It means that God cares. That God cares for us. He cares about us. He cares about our problems. He cares about what we're going through. He cares about our suffering. And he chose to share in it as a human being, living, breathing, and walking on the earth as a man. So God's Son, lying there in the manger, is Emmanuel, God with us. That's the first name which we see that he has. And then that probably prompts a question for each of us, which is, why did God do this? Why did God actually become one of us? Why did God become a human being? And the answer to that is found in the next name that that this baby in the manger was given, which is Jesus. So we see this in verse 21, where it says, the angel says to Joseph, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So I guess if the name Emmanuel, if that speaks to us about who this baby was, he's God with us, then the name Jesus speaks about what this baby will go on to actually do. He will save his people from their sins. And the name of Jesus, if we're looking for its meaning, it simply means the Lord saves. That's what the name means, the Lord saves. So this is saying that Jesus came on a rescue mission to earth. He came on a rescue mission for us. And in particular, it says there that he came to save his people from their sins. You will give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And according to the rest of the New Testament as well, this is why Jesus came. So at 1 John 3 verse 5 says that he appeared so that he might take away our sins. 1 Timothy 1 verse 15 says that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. So this is clearly saying that Jesus came into the world to save sins. I think this is well summarized by the Christmas card, which you sometimes see, which you can see there on the screen. It says that this year, as usual, Santa Claus will bring all the kids who've been really good something nice for Christmas. The best present, however, is reserved for those who've been really bad. Funny, isn't it? Now, I need a word of explanation here. And the word of explanation is that you shouldn't be really bad in the hopes of getting an Xbox or getting that really expensive present which you've been looking forward to. But what this is actually saying is that the best present of all is forgiveness of sins. The best present of all is Jesus Christ, who came into the world to save sinners, which actually includes all of us. So what are sins then? Well, I guess sins are the wrong things that we actually do, like stealing or lying, maybe. But sins also includes our attitudes as well. Sin is basically living our lives ignoring God, not caring about him, living with ourselves as number one. It's basically taking God's good gifts, maybe good gifts of life and health, good gifts of work and family and friends, and enjoying them, but yet all the while we are living for ourselves and actually pushing God further and further away towards the margins, maybe, and not giving him the respect and the worship which he deserves. It's taking the gifts, if you like, but ignoring the giver. That's basically what sin is. Taking the gifts, taking God's good gifts, but ignoring him, the giver, as we live our lives. This reminded me of one nativity play, which I once saw. Mary and Joseph were there. The crib was there. The shepherds and the wise men, they were all there. And everything was going really, really well. But about halfway through, there was this horrified look on Mary's face as she realized that actually the crib was empty. There was no baby Jesus in the manger. And then after brief moments of panic, what happened is that someone off stage obviously realized what had happened. And so they managed to throw this sort of precision rugby pass that was kind of caught by one of the shepherds. And then Jesus was safely deposited in the manger after all. And the whole day was saved, right? But you know, that's a little bit like what some of our lives can actually be like as well. It's not a way in the manger, but in our lives it's actually a way with the manger. Let's get rid of Christ altogether. Let's put him out, not just for Christmas, but out of our lives as well. We live our lives looking out for our own interests, what we want, and we forget all about God. We forget about the God who loves us and made us and wants a relationship with us. And God's word, the Bible, says that that's something incredibly serious because it leaves us separated from God now and in eternity as well. And so this, if we're honest, I guess, is not something that we like thinking about all that much. It's not something that we maybe spend very much time thinking about, especially maybe at Christmas time. But actually, part of the message of Christmas is that we all need Jesus because we've all sinned and we are all naturally far from God. As God's word says, you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then who does Jesus save? Well, it actually says you are to give him the name of Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. That's Matthew 1, verse 21. So on the one hand, this is pretty exclusive, right? It's saying that you have to be one of Jesus' people in order to be saved from your sin. But actually, on the other hand, it's really inclusive as well, because the invitation goes out to everyone in the world to come to Jesus and believe in him. And so the invitation actually goes out to each one of us gathered here this morning. We all need Jesus because we've all sinned. We are all sinners. And we all need to respond to him because he invites everyone to come to him and turn towards him and receive the forgiveness and life that he offers and brings. So then we've seen that God called his son Emmanuel, God with us. We see that God called his son Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And thirdly and finally, we also see that he's called the Christ as well. So Matthew 1 verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. Now the word Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's not like if you wanted to find him in the Nazareth telephone book that you would look on the CH for Christ. Rather, the word Christ is more like a title, something like a professor or doctor, or more accurately, king, because the word Christ just simply means king or promised king. And so what this reminds us is that this child in the manger is actually a king. He's God's king, the one who has authority over us and who each of us should come to love and honour and worship with all of our lives. And so then, as we close, why is Christmas special? Why is Christmas special for you? What makes it special for you? I wonder, and there's various different things coming up on the screen. Maybe you think, yeah, Christmas is special because of all the presents. And I'm really looking forward to getting that Lego or that Xbox or whatever I'm really keen to actually have. Maybe for some of you, this is what makes Christmas special. Food. You like all the Christmas meal. You like all the cheeses. Maybe even Brussels sprouts, you really like. And for you, it's all about the food. Maybe it's about the different traditions. For those of you who don't recognise her, that's the British Queen up there on the top right-hand side. And no Christmas in my family for the last 36 years has happened without us listening to the Queen's speech every Christmas Day afternoon at 3 p.m. And there's advent calendars and stockings and wreaths there as well. And maybe you think it's all about those things. That's what makes Christmas so special. Finally, it's maybe that you think, we just love those Christmas movies. So we've got Elf and the Muppet Family Christmas Carol and Miracle on 34th Street and whatever else it is that you actually like. And, you know, it is the case that all of these things do make Christmas special, and they are all good things. But the reason that Matthew, and the reason that God says that Christmas is special, is because it's all about a special baby. It's about that special child in the manger. It's about him and the names that he was given. Emmanuel, God with us. Jesus, the Lord saves. And Christ, the promised king. The story is told that when the first missionaries came to China in the 1600s, they took with them pictures to illustrate the Christian message as they went. And apparently, all the people loved the Christmas story and the pictures of Mary with the infant Christ. But they recoiled with horror at the pictures of the Easter story and Christ hanging on the cross. But of course, they are actually one and the same thing. They're all one and the same thing. Jesus' mission was a rescue mission that started at Christmas and finished at Easter. He came into the world to save his people by dying for them on the cross. So he is God, the promised king, who came to die for us, to forgive us for our sins. And that is what makes Christmas so special. It's special because it's about God's love for each of us. It's about God's love for each one of us here in sending his son into the world to rescue us from sin and have a relationship with us. And so the question for us is, how are you going to respond to the message this Christmas time? It may be that you are here this morning and you're someone who's a Christian already, in which case I think the challenge for us is to give thanks for this great gift that we have received and rejoice in it and be active in sharing the good news with other people. However, it may be that you're here this morning and you're relatively new to all these things. Maybe you're someone who's experienced some of the Christmas traditions which we've been thinking about. Maybe you're someone who's even been to Christmas carol services like the one which we're having here this morning. But yet, if you're really honest, you've never actually stopped to take the time and the effort to look into the Christmas message for yourself and investigate it for yourself. If you know the Dr. Seuss stories, then you might have come across the Grinch. Here we have a Grinch. He's very cleverly smiling. Can you see him smile? There we go. Anyway, that's the Grinch. And you might recognize this quote from the Grinch. And the Grinch, with his Grinch feet ice cold in the snow, stood puzzling and puzzling. How could it be so? It came without ribbons. It came without tags. It came without packages, boxes or bags. And he puzzled and puzzled till his puzzling was sore. Then the Grinch thought of something he hadn't before. What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more? What if Christmas, he thought, doesn't come from a store? What if Christmas, perhaps, means a little bit more? And that may be something about how you're feeling as well. You're wondering that in the midst of this holiday, in the midst of all these other things which are going on at the moment, in the midst of all of these things, what if Christmas perhaps means a little bit more? Now, Matthew is, of course, reminding us that there is more to Christmas than all these things that we see going on around us, and that Christmas doesn't come from a store, but actually comes from a stable instead. And that is more important than the turkey and the tinsel and the Christmas tree and the presents and the traditions and the decorations. But more important than all of those things, there is Christ, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, who is the Lord of all, the King of creation, who each of us needs to look into. And so if you've never really investigated him, if you've never really looked into him before, then let me urge you to really do that this Christmas time. Maybe you could take away one of these copies of Matthew's Gospel. We've got lots of these free at the door. Please feel to take away one of these and read them. You'll find the Christmas story in here and lots of other things, all written by one of the original eyewitnesses to what happened when Jesus was alive. Or maybe you could also read this free booklet as well. It's called Christmas in Three Words, which we'll be offering to everyone as you leave, and that explains the message of Christmas. So if you're around here in Hong Kong next week, then why not come to our carol services next week as well to hear more. But whatever you do, make sure this Christmas time that you do take some time out to think about the kinds of important questions which we've been looking at this morning. Who is this baby in the manger? What does he mean? What does he mean for us? What is it that makes him and his birth so special? And then, of course, some of us here, it may be that you've heard this Christmas message many times previously, and this morning you need to accept the invitation which Jesus gives to become one of his people and ask him to rescue you from your sins and to rule over your life. And then if you do that, this Christmas will be the most special Christmas you've ever had. Not because of the many things that we often think make it special, but rather because you will have come to know and enter personal relationship with the one who it is really all about. Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Let's pray together. Let's have a few moments of quiet to reflect on the message of Christmas and who this baby in the manger was. And then when the music starts in a few moments, we'll stand and we'll sing our next carol, which is Joy to the World.